Radio Prague News.
The head of the Czech Olympic Committee has praised Czech athletes for their performance at the 21st Winter Olympic Games. The Czech president, Václav Klaus, has said he will veto the reinstatement of full maternity benefits recently passed by the Chamber of Deputies. The internationally acclaimed art historian Anna Farová has died at the age of 81. The head of the Czech Olympic Committee, Milan Jirásek, has praised Czech athletes for their performance at the 21st Winter Olympic Games. Overall, the Czechs won 2 gold and 4 bronze medals in Vancouver. The most successful was speed skater Martina Sablíková, who clinched gold in the 3,000 and 5,000-meter races, while Lukáš Bauer got bronze in the men's 15-kilometer freestyle and men's 4x10-kilometer relay. Šárka Záhrobská won her bronze medal, her first at the Olympics, in difficult conditions in the women's slalom. In other Olympic news, Czech cross-country skier Lukáš Bauer finished in 12th place, almost 14 seconds off the leader and well outside the medals in the men's 50-kilometer classic on Sunday. During the race, the Czech skier was involved in a crash with other competitors. In the final 5 kilometers, he attempted to move ahead, but was unable to gain any ground on his closest rivals. The race was won by Norway's Petter Northug. The 21st Winter Olympic Games wrapped up in Vancouver, Canada on Sunday night. The next games will take place in Sochi, Russia in 4 years' time. The Czech president, Václav Klaus, has said he will veto the reinstatement of full maternity benefits recently passed by the Chamber of Deputies. Speaking at a press conference for the launch of his new book, Mr. Klaus repeated on Monday that he will not sign any bill that would increase the state budget deficit. Left-wing parties helped by the Greens managed to push the benefits through Parliament last week in the face of opposition from the government as well as the centre-right parties. Maternal benefits were reduced in 2009 as part of the government's austerity package, and the lower house move to reinstate them will still have to go through the Senate, where the centre-right parties hold a small majority before reaching Mr. Klaus's desk. The internationally acclaimed art historian Anna Farová has died. The Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes was the first to report on Monday that Ms. Farová had passed away at the weekend after a difficult illness. She was 81 years old. Anna Farová is considered a pioneer in studying photography as a fine art, devoting more than 50 years of her life to the field. From 1970, she headed the Museum of Decorative Arts until she was forced out by the communist regime for signing the human rights petition Charter 77. In the 1980s, she published widely in the West, and her publications were credited with bringing Czech photography to international attention, popularizing renowned photographers such as Josef Sudek and František Drtikol. Her work won her a number of important honors from the Czech Republic to the United States, including an Order of Arts and Letters in France and a Medal of Merit awarded by Václav Havel in 2002. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly cloudy, with daytime highs of around 7 degrees Celsius. I'm Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, Czech doctors have been given guidelines to help them decide when to stop giving terminally ill patients intensive treatment. What's the possible downside? In a new book just out, President Klaus looks at the 7th year of his presidency. And this being Monday, we'll bring you a summary of the sports news. Later on, in one-on-one, we'll be talking to former Chinese political prisoner Harry Wu about conditions in Chinese prison camps.
So later is totally turned myself into a kind of a beast, looking for food, that's it. I don't care what is the future, what is, because during the 19 years of prison camp, nobody come to see me.
All that and more coming your way, so do please stay with us. Deciding when to stop treating terminally ill patients is an extremely sensitive issue, and until now, doctors have had to make this decision alone and justify it to the patient's relatives. Now the Czech Doctors' Chamber has issued a set of guidelines which should help them decide when further treatment is futile. However, the move has evoked criticism, with critics pointing out that such guidelines can be abused. Ruth Frankova has the story.
Although the new guidelines regarding care for terminally ill patients are not legally binding, they are being described by doctors as a revolution in Czech healthcare. It is the first official document of its kind, and it has been prompted by the Czech Society of Anesthesiology and Intensive Care Medicine, who wanted doctors to have something to fall back on in the event of a legal problem. Above all, the guidelines define effective and ineffective treatment based on the premise that the life of every patient is terminal and a person should live it as well as possible. Milan Kubek is the head of the Czech Doctors' Chamber.
Our guidelines should prevent patients from getting what we call futile treatment, which cannot prolong their life or lead to their recovery. Such patients should receive palliative care, but they shouldn't be burdened, for example, by further surgeries, if there's no chance that this could improve their life. We want patients to receive treatment that is optimal for them. They should not be exposed to suffering when the treatment makes no sense.
While most doctors welcome the initiative of the Doctors' Chamber, patients remain more cautious. Josef Mrázek, the vice president of the Czech Association of Patients, argues that the guidelines will take the responsibility of the decision away from the doctors.
Mr. Kubek argued that the guidelines would help inexperienced doctors to decide whether to terminate treatment. But we think that this decision should always be in the hands of an experienced doctor. Secondly, there were cases recently when a doctor decided that a patient was dead and it later turned out that the person was still alive. And thirdly, it is always better to treat someone longer than necessary than later questioning whether doctors did all they could. This is important especially for the relatives.
The Doctors' Chamber has stressed that the guidelines are merely a set of recommendations and should not in any event lead to a withdrawal of treatment if the patient shows a will to fight. They concern mainly patients in a coma or patients with multiple organ failure, but even in such cases, doctors should take into consideration a patient's previous wishes. Besides, they say, withdrawing intensive treatment does not imply withdrawing treatment as such. A patient would get treatment to relieve their pain and discomfort without prolonging their suffering. This has led some critics to argue that the new guidelines can be regarded as a first step to euthanasia, but Milan Kubek of the Czech Doctors' Chamber strongly disagrees.
Euthanasia is illegal and the Czech Doctors' Chamber doesn't agree with it. In my view, a patient's wish to die is the result of ineffective palliative care and a lack of hospices in this country. Our guidelines cannot be seen as paving the way to euthanasia. On the contrary, they enforce the rights of patients to proper care.
Milan Kubek, the head of the Czech Doctors' Chamber, ending that report by Ruth Frankova. Now, 2009 was an eventful year for President Václav Klaus. He chaired several EU summits during the country's presidency of the bloc, and he was the last man standing against the EU's Lisbon Treaty. On Monday, Václav Klaus launched a new book entitled Year 7, reflecting his views of the events of that year. Jan Richter was there.
Dobrý den, dámy a pánové, já bych vás chtěl rád přivítat.
Václav Klaus has been Czech president for 7 years now, but few of them were as memorable as 2009. Looking back at the past year in office, Mr. Klaus launched a new book on Monday entitled Year 7, a collection of speeches, articles and remarks the Czech head of state delivered in the last year. Mr. Klaus says he paid special attention to two dominant issues, the Czech presidency of the European Union and his opposition to the bloc's reform Lisbon Treaty, which put him in the spotlight of most European media and ended with his signing the document last November.
Tato otázka byla dominantním tématem roku 2009 z pohledu mého.
This issue was a dominant one for me and I believe for all citizens of the Czech Republic. And it was quite useful for me to collect all my articles, speeches and addresses on this topic, to order them chronologically, and I think the lineup is a sound reflection of my arguments.
Plastická ukázka argumentace z mé strany.
The rotating presidency of the European Union, held by the Czech Republic in the first 6 months of 2009, also brought a lot of attention to the Czech head of state. In April, he received US President Barack Obama, and in May, he first chaired an EU-China summit in Prague, and later met with Russian President Dmitry Medvedev in Khabarovsk. The president's critics often note that his eccentric views have increasingly driven him into international isolation, but Mr. Klaus disagrees.
My jsme skutečně v loňském roce měli největší počet zahraničních návštěv.
We had the highest ever number of foreign visits in 2009, measured by the number of honor guard reviews at Prague Castle, by the number of state dinners or the times we prepared menus for them. But seriously speaking, also measured by the numbers of significant presidential speeches. I'm sure we can't match those numbers any time in the future.
To podle mého názoru překonat nemůžeme.
Later this month, President Klaus will receive more significant visitors as British Prince Charles and his wife Camilla are set to conclude their Central European tour in the Czech Republic. And President Klaus is not done with another of his themes, the European Union. In April, he is scheduled to deliver what he says will be a key speech known as Europa Rede at Humboldt University in Berlin.
Já jsem přislíbil, že tuto letošní Europa Rede 29. dubna.
I promised to deliver this year's Europa Rede on April 29th. I considered crucial my address to the European Parliament in February 2009, and this address will also be crucial. Let me just say that I've already started working on it.
A musím, abych vás potěšil, už jsem si začal vážně připravovat.
Václav Klaus has 3 more years to serve as the Czech president, and he wants to see his book series completed with 3 more volumes of collected works.
Jan Richter with that report, and we now turn to sports. The historic success of Martina Sablíková at the Winter Olympics has revived a debate on whether a dedicated speed skating arena should be built here in the Czech Republic. The mayor of the town where Sablíková lives says a backer may soon be found for such a hall, which the state would then have to maintain. But some say that would waste public money on an extremely marginal sport, Sara Borůvka reports.
Martina Sablíková's spectacular achievements at the Vancouver Winter Olympics have brought the state of speed skating in the Czech Republic back to the focus of national attention. To date, there are no training facilities for speed skaters in the country, one of the factors that made Sablíková's double gold at the Olympics all the more remarkable. But this situation could change within a few years. Backed by an unnamed private investor, Sablíková's hometown of Velký Osek, some 70 kilometers from Prague, could soon see the construction of a dedicated speed skating hall. Jiří Ota is the town's mayor.
Tak my děláme všechno pro to, aby se to postavilo.
We're doing everything we can to have such an arena built here, and I believe we'll be able to sign the contract for the construction in April. It should be finished by 2013.
Ota says the private backer is willing to cover the cost of the construction, which would amount to 1.5 billion Czech crowns or nearly 80 million US dollars. But the maintenance of the speed skating hall would have to be paid for out of the state budget.
It's a building that will serve the public. That's also one of the reasons the investor is going into it. He doesn't want to get rich off of the building. This arena would serve the public and benefit our citizens, but he can't cover the maintenance, so that'll have to be covered by the Czech Speed Skating Association.
Jo, provoz musí zajistit Český svaz rychlobruslařů.
Plans for the hall also include 2 hockey rinks and a concrete skating rink that could be used by local inline skaters. But the arena would mainly serve the Czech Republic's competitive speed skaters, of whom there are extremely few. This has led some to argue it would be cheaper for the state to simply pay for Martina Sablíková and her colleagues to train abroad. Velký Osek Meje Jiří Ota rejects this suggestion.
Ta hala není stavěna pro Martinu Sáblíkovou, to je největší omyl.
This hall isn't being built for Martina Sáblíková. Of course, she can train abroad. That's the biggest misconception that people seem to have. This arena is being built to bring speed skating back from its exile to the Czech Republic, so that people can train here. We'll have to start with children, of course, but we want to build a new base for this wonderful sport.
The name of the private investor who could possibly make that dream real by funding the arena's construction will not be disclosed until next month, says Ota. But he says he is confident that building work will begin this year.
Sarah Borufka with that story. And now, this being Monday, it's time for a summary of the sports news with Ian Willoughby.
The 2010 Winter Olympics, which have just ended in Vancouver, were the most successful in history for the Czech Republic, whose athletes are bringing home 6 medals. Czechoslovakia took the same number in Sarajevo in 1984, but the crucial difference is that this time the tally includes gold. In fact, speed skater Martina Sáblíková took 2 gold medals, becoming the first ever Czech to top the podium twice at 1 Winter Olympics. She also earned a bronze medal, as did cross-country skier Lukáš Bauer, the men's cross-country relay team, which included Bauer, and downhill skier Šárka Záhrobská. Záhrobská was the last Czech medalist, after the 25-year-old came third in the slalom on Friday to reach the podium at the Olympics for the first time.
Of
course, I'm extremely happy. What's more, the weather here wasn't so good, especially at the start of the Olympics, and the conditions today weren't particularly great either, so I'm very happy that I managed to take the bronze.
Záhrobská's face was splashed all over Saturday's newspapers, alongside headlines about the country's best ever medals tally. But Czech sports fans were still hoping to see one more, with cross-country skier Lukáš Bauer among the favourites in Sunday's 50-kilometre mass start classic. The 32-year-old kept pace with the leaders for most of the race, but was visibly flagging in the latter stages and eventually finished 12th.
Towards the end, I really started running out of steam. That serious drop in energy levels combined with steep slopes and my smooth skis meant that I couldn't keep up with the leaders. Until the last hill, I was still in with a chance, but after that, I was pulling on the shorter end of the rope. But even still, I'm really satisfied with 12th place.
Several members of the Czech team have already come home, with Lukáš Bauer and the rest due to arrive in Prague on Tuesday. The greatest attention will no doubt be on Martina Sáblíková, a quiet 22-year-old whose historic success in Vancouver has made her a gigantic star here in the Czech Republic. Finally, a quick mention of football, and the Czech league resumed after the winter break at the weekend, with leaders Jablonec immediately extending the gap over their nearest rivals with a 3-0 home win over Bohemians 1905. Second-placed Teplice played out a nil-all draw at České Budějovice, while Sparta, who are third, drew 1-1 in the capital with Příbram. That's all the sport for today.
A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, as every Monday, we're inviting you to hear an in-depth interview with an interesting personality. In this week's one-on-one, Chris Johnstone talks to a former Chinese prisoner of conscience.
In this week's one-on-one, I talked to Chinese human rights activist Harry Wu. He survived 19 years in Chinese prison camps. Released during a thaw in 1979, he was later invited to the United States, where he became a citizen. There, he devoted himself to uncovering details of the Chinese labor camp system, risking a fresh term in the camps when he went back to China in 1995. On the sidelines of a conference in Prague about communist crimes, I asked him what he had been able to find out about the Chinese camp system.
China have the regime until today, 60 years. They never tell the people how many people they executed, how many people in the jail, and how many camps. So that's why in the last 20 years, I was to find out that how many camps. We recognize more than 1,000 camps there, but the government say this is top secret. So that's why in 1995, the government rearrested me at the border and put me in a camp for 66 days, a sentence 15 years. Until today, we never know. But we estimate in the last 60 years, more than 40 to 50 million people was there.
And you have experience of a camp for, you were sentenced for 19 years. Can you say a bit about that?
Yes, I was in 1960 and sentenced to life, but I was spent 19 years over there. And then again, 1905, they sentenced 15 years. Totally, the government want to put me in a camp for 34 years. I just don't know for why. What's the reason? Why they want to charge? What is my crime? Is a drug trafficker, a rapist, or robbery, or terrorist? I'm not. Okay. I say something from my brand. This is a crime. This is communist China. This is a very serious crime. And I'm one of the millions of people. Okay. So this is the situation today in China.
And what essentially was your crime? They never told you what the crime was, but what do you suppose that your crime in their eyes was?
In 1957, I was say that Soviet invasion of Hungary, I think this is wrong, is violation of international law. But I just only say it on the class meeting, that's it. That is my crime. In 1995, I have not been in the camp. I just outside and try to enter. They arrest me again because they say, well, you try to steal the state secrets. Okay. I just don't know.
And can you describe some of the conditions in the camps where you were?
Well, the camp is very simple. That's different camp have different kinds of labor. I was in the coal mine working two shifts a day, 12 to 12. That's it. I work in the farm when early morning the sun rise, we go out and waiting for sun down, we come back. How many hours, you never know, okay? And the food is very limited and controlled. You cannot free to have a food. They divide in different section, and the police always say, good labor, good food, less labor, less food. If you refuse to labor, and no food, and sent to the solitary confinement.
What was your situation? You went hungry, heard that you... No?
The hungry is all the time. So the major problem for the prisoners is find the food. Of course, they can rob the food from other people, but this is not enough. When we're working in the field or in the coal mine, try to find the food. In the coal mine, we try to find the mushroom in underground, and in the field, we just try to find the frogs, snack, find the rats. This is major. Even today, I can teach you how to catch the rat.
Would you describe yourself at the start as a dissident when the communists came to power? You were very young, but your family was quite a rich family in Shanghai. So by definition, that they thought you were an enemy?
Yeah, I was labeled as an enemy. And at the first 1 or 2 years, I was so sad, I was crying and say, no, I'm not an enemy. And they said, no, you are. And then I said, okay, I was a capitalist and I want to take the soul reform or whatever. But it doesn't work. So later, is totally turned myself into a kind of a beast, looking for food, that's it. I don't care what is the future, what is... because during the 19 years of prison camp, nobody come to see me. Okay, because this is entirely just like a slave, nothing.
And did you ever think that you'd get out of this system alive?
Well, I think everybody wants to free themselves. Of course I tried to escape, but I can't. Because the whole country is entirely controlled by the communists. If I leave the small cage, or I went to the big cage, where can I go? First of all, I went to my home. My mother was committing suicide. My father was a counter-revolutionary writer, same situation as me. What shall I do? No way to go. No way to escape, you know. We just as a robot, as a machine, I don't know how to survive myself, whatever. But finally, I survived. Many people passed away.
And how is it that you were eventually allowed to leave to go to the United States?
1979, we have a kind of rehabilitation. It's not entirely recovered. So we leave the camp. So I went to my old university and have a job over there. And I was there 5-6 years. And never talking about politics again, just quietly working, study. And I have some academic paper showing the International Society, and then University of Berkeley, University of California, Berkeley, invite me to be there. I'm very, very lucky. So I was there as a visiting scholar. I was in University of California, Berkeley, 2 years, study about geology, geoscience, but later I give it up. I went to Stanford University, Hoover Institution, continuing my research on the labor camps.
Yeah. And what do you think about the West's current attitude towards China? The West doesn't seem to like to speak up much these days.
Well, first of all, I think everybody, whatever, what is your position? You are a merchant, you are a businessman, you are a professor, you are a congressman, you are a senator, you are president, whatever. First of all, you are the human beings. Okay, this is basic situation for everyone. As a human being, you have to be thinking about your rights, human rights. Okay, you cannot allow any government say, well, control your birth, control your freedom of speech, okay, control your freedom for sensitive things. This is your rights, okay? So as an American president or Czech president, first of all, thinking about what is the rights, okay? We can't make business with the communists and we ignore the human rights inside China.
Former Chinese political prisoner and human rights activist Harry Wu in this week's edition of One on One. And our time is up, I'm afraid. This is Danielle Azarova saying thanks for joining us today and take care.